Chapter 14. The Best Friend. He is wholly desirable. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Song of Solomon 5:16. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, Behold, a gluttonous man, and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Luke 7:34. A friend is one of the greatest blessings on earth. Do not tell me about money, for love is better than gold. Empathy is better than lands. He is poor who has no friends. This world is full of sorrow because it is full of sin. It is a dark place. It is a lonely place. It is a disappointing place. The brightest sunbeam in it is a friend. Friendship halves our troubles and doubles our joys. A real friend is scarce and rare. There are many people who will eat, drink, and laugh with us in the sunshine of prosperity, but there are few people who will stand by us in the days of darkness. There are few people who will love us when we are sick, helpless, and poor. Above all, there are few people who will care for our souls. Does any reader or listener want a real friend? I write to recommend one to your notice this day. I know of one who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. I know of one who is ready to be your friend for time and for eternity, if you will receive him. Listen while I try to tell you something about him. The friend I want you to know is Jesus Christ. Happy is that family in which Christ has the primary place. Happy is that person whose best friend is Christ. 1. Do you want a friend when you are in need? The Lord Jesus Christ is such a friend. Man is the neediest creature on God's earth because he is a sinner. There's no need as great as that of sinners. Poverty, hunger, thirst, cold, and sickness are all as nothing in comparison. Sinners need pardon, and they are completely unable to provide it for themselves. They need deliverance from a guilty conscience and the fear of death, and they have no power of their own to obtain it. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to relieve this need. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. We are all, by nature, poor, dying creatures. From the king on his throne to the pauper in the workhouse, we are all sick of a mortal disease of soul. Whether we know it or not, whether we feel it or not, we are all dying daily. The plague of sin is in our blood. We cannot cure ourselves. Every hour we are getting worse and worse. The Lord Jesus undertook to remedy all this. He came into the world to bring in health and healing. Jeremiah 33:6. He came to deliver us from the second death. Revelation 2:11. He came to abolish death and to bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10. By nature, we are all imprisoned debtors. We owed God millions but had nothing to pay. We were miserable bankrupts without hope of freeing ourselves. We could never have freed ourselves from our load of liabilities and were daily getting more deeply indebted. The Lord Jesus saw all this and took it upon himself to remedy the situation. He committed himself to ransom and redeem us. Hosea 13:14. He came to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Isaiah 61:1. He came to redeem us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. By nature, we are all shipwrecked and cast away. We never could have reached the harbor of everlasting life. We were sinking in the midst of the waves, hopeless, helpless, and powerless. We were tied and bound by the chain of our sins, sinking under the burden of our own guilt, and likely to become a prey to the devil. The Lord Jesus saw all this and undertook to remedy the situation. He came down from heaven to be our mighty helper. Psalm 89:19. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. And to deliver us from going down to the pit. Job 33:24. Could we have been saved without the Lord Jesus Christ coming down from heaven? It would have been entirely impossible. The wisest men of Egypt, Greece, and Rome never found out the way to peace with God. Without the friendship of Christ, we would all have been lost forevermore in hell. Was the Lord Jesus Christ obligated to come down to save us? Oh, no. It was His own free love, mercy, and compassion that brought Him down. He came unsought and unasked because He was gracious. Let us think upon these things. Search all history from the beginning of the world and look around the whole circle of those you know and love. You never heard of such friendship among men. There was never such a real friend in need as Jesus Christ. 2. Do you want a friend who will really help you in actions? The Lord Jesus Christ is such a friend. The true extent of a person's friendship must be measured by his deeds. Don't tell me what he says, feels, and wishes. Don't tell me of his words and letters. Instead, tell me what he does. A friend is measured by what he does. The actions of the Lord Jesus Christ for mankind are the grand proof of his friendly feeling toward him. There were never such acts of kindness and self-denial as those that he has performed on our behalf. He has not loved us in word only, but in deed, 1 John 3:18. For our sakes he took our nature upon him and was born of a woman. He who was fully God and equal with the Father laid aside his glory for a season and took upon himself flesh and blood like our own. The Almighty Creator of all things became a little infant like any of us, and he experienced all our bodily weaknesses and infirmities, with sin being the only exception. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For our sakes he lived 33 years in this evil world, despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53:3. Although he was King of Kings, he had nowhere to lay his head. Matthew 8:20. Although he was Lord of Lords, he was often weary, hungry, thirsty, and poor. He took on him the form of a servant, and he humbled himself. Philippians 2:7-8. For our sakes he suffered the most painful of all deaths, even the death of the cross. Although innocent and without fault, he allowed himself to be condemned and found guilty. He who was the Prince of Life was led as a lamb to the slaughter, Isaiah 53:7, and poured out his soul unto death, Isaiah 53:12. Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Was he obligated to do this? Oh, no. He could have called thousands of angels to help him and could have scattered his enemies with a word. Matthew 26:53. He suffered voluntarily to make atonement for our sins. He knew that nothing except the sacrifice of his body and blood could ever make peace between sinful man and a holy God. He laid down his life to pay the price of our redemption. He died so that we might live. He suffered so that we might reign. He endured shame so that we might receive glory. Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Such friendship as this surpasses man's understanding. We may have heard sometimes of friends who would die for those who love them, but who can find someone who would lay down his life for those who hate him? Yet this is what Jesus has done for us. Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Romans 5:6-10. Ask all the tribes of mankind from one end of the world to the other, and you will nowhere hear of a deed like this. No one was ever so high and stooped down so low as Jesus, the Son of God. No one ever gave so costly a proof of his friendship. No one ever paid so much and endured so much to do good to others. Never was there such a friend in deed as Jesus Christ. 3. Do we want a mighty and powerful friend? The Lord Jesus Christ is such a friend. Few people in this world possess power to help. Many people have enough desire to do good to others, but no power to do so. They feel for the sorrows of others and would gladly relieve them if they could. They can weep with their friends in affliction, but are unable to take their grief away. Although man is weak, Christ is strong. Although the best of our earthly friends is feeble, Christ is almighty. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28:18. No one can do as much for those whom he befriends as Jesus Christ. Others can befriend their bodies a little, but Jesus can befriend both body and soul. Others can do a little for them in time, but Jesus can be a friend both for time and eternity. He is able to pardon and save the very greatest sinners. He can deliver the most guilty conscience from all its burdens and give it perfect peace with God. He can wash away the vilest stains of wickedness and make a person whiter than snow in the sight of God. He can clothe a poor, weak child of Adam in everlasting righteousness and give him a title to heaven that can never be overthrown. In a word, he can give any of us peace, hope, forgiveness, and reconciliation with God if we will only trust in him. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. He is able to convert the hardest of hearts and create a new spirit in us. He can take the most thoughtless and ungodly people and give them a new heart by the Holy Spirit whom he puts in them. He can cause old things to pass away and all things to become new. He can make them love the things they once hated and hate the things they once loved. He can give them power to become children of God. John 1:12. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He is able to preserve to the end all who believe in him and become his disciples. He can give them grace to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to fight a good fight until the end. He can lead them on safely in spite of every temptation, carry them home through 1,000 dangers, and keep them faithful even if they stand alone and have no one to help them. He is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him. Hebrews 7:25. He is able to give those who love him the best of gifts. In this life, he can give them inward comforts, which money can never buy, peace in poverty, joy in sorrow, and patience in suffering. In death, he can give them bright hopes, which enable them to walk through the dark valley without fear. After death, he can give them an unfading crown of glory and a reward compared to which the Queen of England has nothing to bestow. This is power indeed. This is true greatness. This is real strength. Go and look at the poor Hindu idolater who seeks peace in vain by afflicting his body. After 50 years of self-imposed suffering, he is still unable to find it. Go and look at the unenlightened Roman Catholic who gives money to his priest to pray for his soul, yet dies without comfort. Go and look at those who are rich, spending thousands in search of happiness, yet are always discontent and unhappy. Then turn to Jesus and consider what he can do, and is daily doing, for all who savingly trust him. Consider how he heals the broken-hearted believer, comforts the sick believer, cheers all the poor who trust in him, and supplies all their daily needs. The fear of man is strong. The opposition of this evil world is mighty. The lusts of the flesh rage horribly. The fear of death is dreadful, and the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. But Jesus is stronger than them all. Jesus can make us more than conquerors over all these foes. Romans 8:37. Consider Jesus and then say whether there was ever so mighty a friend as Jesus Christ. 4. Do we want a loving and affectionate friend? The Lord Jesus Christ is such a friend. Kindness is the very essence of true friendship. Money and advice and help lose half their grace if not given in a loving manner. What kind of love is that of the Lord Jesus toward man? It is called a love that surpasses knowledge, Ephesians 3:19. Love shines forth in his reception of sinners. He refuses no one who comes to him for salvation, no matter how unworthy they may be. Although their lives may have been most wicked, and although their sins may be more in number than the stars of heaven, the Lord Jesus is ready to receive them and give them pardon and peace. There is no end to his compassion. There are no limits to his mercy. He's not ashamed to befriend those whom the world casts off as hopeless. There are none too bad, too filthy, and too much diseased with sin to be admitted into his heavenly home. He is willing to be the friend of any sinner. He has kindness and mercy and healing medicine for all. He has long proclaimed this to be his rule. The one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. John 6:37. Love shines forth in his dealings with sinners after they have believed in him and become his friends. He is very patient with them, even if their conduct is often very trying and provoking. He is never tired of hearing their complaints, no matter how often they may come to him. He sympathizes deeply in all their sorrows. He knows what pain is. He is acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53:3. In all their afflictions, he is afflicted. He never allows them to be tempted above what they are able to bear, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He supplies them with daily grace for their daily conflict. Their poor services are acceptable to him. He is as well pleased with them as a parent is with his child's attempts to speak and walk. He has caused it to be written in his book that he takes pleasure in his people, Psalm 149:4, and that he favors those who fear him, Psalm 147:11. There is no love on earth that can even be named together with this. We love those in whom we see something that deserves our affection, or those who are our relatives. But the Lord Jesus loves sinners in whom there is no good thing. We love those from whom we get some return for our affection. But the Lord Jesus loves those who can do little or nothing for him compared to what he does for them. We love where we can give some reason for loving. But the great friend of sinners draws his reasons out of his own everlasting compassion. His love is purely unselfish and purely free. Never, never was there a friend so truly loving as Jesus Christ. 5. Do we want a wise and prudent friend? The Lord Jesus Christ is such a friend. Man's friendship is sadly blind. He often injures those he loves by tactless kindness. He often errs in the counsel he gives. He often leads his friends into trouble by bad advice, even when he means to help them. He sometimes keeps them back from the way of life and entangles them in the vanities of the world when they have nearly escaped. The friendship of the Lord Jesus is not so. It always does us good and never evil. The Lord Jesus never spoils his friends by extravagant indulgence. He gives them everything that is really for their benefit. He withholds nothing from them that is really good. He requires them to take up their cross daily and follow him. Luke 9:23. He tells them to endure hardships as good soldiers. 2 Timothy 2:3. He calls on them to fight the good fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. 1 Timothy 6:12. His people often dislike it at the time and think it's hard. But when they reach heaven, they will see that it was all well done. The Lord Jesus makes no mistakes in managing his friends' affairs. He orders all their concerns with perfect wisdom. All things happen to them at the right time and in the right way. He gives them as much of sickness and as much of health, as much of poverty and as much of riches, as much of sorrow and as much of joy as he sees their souls require. He leads them by the right way to bring them to the city of habitation. He mixes their bitterest cups like a wise physician, and he is careful that they do not have even a drop too little or too much. His people often misunderstand his dealings. They are silly enough to imagine that their course of life might have been better ordered. However, on the resurrection day, they will thank God that not their will, but Christ's will, was done. Look around the world and see the harm that people are continually getting from their friends. Notice how much more ready people are to encourage one another in worldliness and amusement than to provoke to love and good works. Hebrews 10:24. Think how often they meet together, not for the better, but for the worse, not to enliven one another's souls in the way to heaven, but to confirm one another in the love of this present world. Sadly, there are thousands of people who are wounded unexpectedly in the house of their friends. Zechariah 13:6. Then turn to the great friend of sinners and see how different his friendship is from that of man. Listen to him as he walks with his disciples. Observe how he comforts, reproves, and exhorts with perfect wisdom. Observe how he times his visits to those he loves, as to Mary and Martha at Bethany. John 11. Hear how he speaks, as when he dines on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Simon, son of John, do you love me? John 21:16. His company is always sanctifying. His gifts are always for our soul's good. His kindness is always wise. His fellowship is always to edification. One day with the Son of Man is better than 1,000 in the society of earthly friends. 1 hour spent in private communion with him is better than 1 year in king's palaces. Never, never was there such a wise friend as Jesus Christ. 6. Do we want a tried and proven friend? The Lord Jesus Christ is such a friend. 6,000 years have passed away since the Lord Jesus began his work of befriending mankind. During that long period of time, he has had many friends in this world. Sadly, millions and millions of people have refused his offers and have been miserably lost forever. But thousands and thousands of people have enjoyed the mighty privilege of his friendship and have been saved. He has had much experience. He has had friends of every position and station in life. Some of them were kings and rich men, such as David, Solomon, Hezekiah, and Job. Some of them were very poor in this world, such as the shepherds of Bethlehem, James, John, and Andrew. However, they were all similarly Christ's friends. He has had friends of every age that people can be. Some of them never knew him until they were advanced in years, such as Manasseh, Zacchaeus, and probably the Ethiopian eunuch. Some of them were his friends even from their earliest childhood, such as Joseph, Samuel, Josiah, and Timothy. However, they were all similarly Christ's friends. He has had friends of every possible temperament and disposition. Some of them were simple, plain men, such as Isaac. Some of them were mighty in word and deed, such as Moses. Some of them were fervent and warm-hearted, such as Peter. Some of them were gentle and reserved, such as John. Some of them were active and inspirational, such as Martha. Some of them loved to sit quietly at his feet, such as Mary. Some dwelt unknown among their own people, such as the Shunammite. Some have gone everywhere and have turned the world upside down, such as Paul. However, they were all similarly Christ's friends. He has had friends of every condition in life. Some of them were married and had sons and daughters, such as Enoch. Some of them lived and died unmarried, such as Daniel and John the Baptist. Some of them were often sick, such as Lazarus and Epaphroditus. Some of them were strong to labor, such as Persis, Tryphena, and Tryphosa. Some of them were masters, such as Abraham and Cornelius. Some of them were servants, such as the saints in Nero's household. Some of them had bad servants, such as Elisha with Gehazi. Some of them had bad masters, such as Obadiah with Ahab. Some of them had bad wives and children, such as David. However, they were all similarly Christ's friends. He has had friends of almost every nation, people, and language. He has had friends in hot countries and in cold. He has had friends among nations that were highly civilized, and he has had friends among the simplest and crudest tribes. His book of life contains the names of Greeks and Romans, Jews and Egyptians, slave and free. Found on its lists are quiet Englishmen, cautious Scotsmen, impulsive Irishmen, fiery Welshmen, volatile Frenchmen, dignified Spaniards, refined Italians, solid Germans, crude Africans, refined Indians, cultured Chinese, and half-savage New Zealanders. However, they were all similarly Christ's friends. All these have tested Christ's friendship and have proved it to be good. They all found nothing lacking when they began, and they all found nothing lacking as they went on. No lack, no defect, no deficiency was ever found in Jesus Christ by any of them. Each person found his own soul's needs fully supplied. Each person discovered every day that in Christ there was enough and more to spare. Never, never was there a friend so fully tried and proven as Jesus Christ. And 7, last, do we want an unfailing friend? The Lord Jesus Christ is such a friend. The saddest part of all the good things of earth is their instability. Riches make themselves wings and fly away. Youth and beauty only last a few years. Strength of body soon decays. Mind and intellect are soon weakened. All is perishing, all is fading, all is passing away. However, there is one wonderful exception to this general rule, and that is the friendship of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is a friend who never changes. There's no uncertainty about him. Those whom he loves unto the end. John 13:1. Husbands have been known to forsake their wives. Parents have been known to cast aside their children. Human vows and promises of faithfulness have often been forgotten. Thousands of people who were honored by everyone when they were rich and young have been neglected in their poverty and old age. However, Christ never changed his feelings toward one of his friends. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. The Lord Jesus never goes away from his friends. There's never a parting and goodbye between him and his people. From the time that he makes his dwelling in the sinner's heart, he remains there forever. The world is full of departures. Death and the lapse of time break up the most united family. Sons go forth to make their way in life. Daughters get married and leave their father's house forever. Scattering, scattering, scattering is the yearly history of the happiest home. How many people we have tearfully watched as they drove away from our doors, whose pleasant faces we have never seen again. How many people we have sorrowfully followed to the grave, and then come back to a cold, silent, lonely, and blank fireside. But thanks be to God, there is one who never leaves his friends. The Lord Jesus has said, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." Hebrews 13:5. The Lord Jesus goes with his friends wherever they go. There's no possible separation between him and those whom he loves. There is no place or position on earth that can divide them from the great friend of their souls. When the path of duty calls them far away from home, he is their companion. When they pass through the fire and water of fierce tribulation, he is with them. When they lie down on the bed of sickness, he stands by them and makes all their troubles work for good. When they go down the valley of the shadow of death, and friends and relatives stand still and can go no farther, he goes down by their side. When they wake up in the unknown world of paradise, they are still with him. When they rise with a new body at the judgment day, they will not be alone. He will acknowledge them as his friends and will say, "They are mine. Deliver them and let them go free." He will make good his own words, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28:20. Look around the world and see how failure is written on all men's plans. Count up the partings, separations, disappointments, and bereavements that have happened under your own knowledge. Think what a privilege it is that there is at least one who never fails and in whom no one was ever disappointed. Never, never was there so unfailing a friend as Jesus Christ. Now allow me to conclude this chapter with a few plain words of application. I don't know who you are or in what condition your soul may be, but I'm sure that the words I'm about to say deserve your serious attention. Oh, that this may not find you careless of spiritual things. Oh, that you may be able to give a few thoughts to Christ. For one thing, know that I call upon you to seriously consider whether Christ is your friend and you are his. There are thousands and thousands of people, I grieve to say, who are not Christ's friends. They are baptized in his name, are members of a Christian church, and attend his means of grace, but they are not truly Christ's friends. Do they hate the sins that Jesus died to put away? No. Do they love the Savior who came into the world to save sinners? No. Do they care for the souls that were so precious in his sight? No. Do they delight in his word? No. Do they try to speak with the friend of sinners in prayer? No. Do they seek close fellowship with him? No. Oh, reader or listener, is this your situation? How is it with you? Are you or are you not one of Christ's friends? Next, know that if you are not one of Christ's friends, then you are a poor, miserable being. I write this down deliberately. I do not say it without thought. I say that if Christ is not your friend, then you are a poor, miserable being. You are in the midst of a failing, sorrowful world, and you have no real source of comfort or refuge for a time of need. You are a dying creature, and you are not ready to die. You have sins, and they are not forgiven. You're going to be judged, and you're not prepared to meet God. You could be pardoned, but you refuse to use the one and only mediator and advocate. You love the world more than you love Christ. You refuse the great friend of sinners, and you have no friend in heaven to plead your cause. Yes, it is sadly true. You are a poor, miserable being. It doesn't matter at all what your income is. Without Christ's friendship, you are very poor. Thirdly, know that if you really want a friend, then Christ is willing to become your friend. He now invites you by my hand to join his people. As unworthy as you may feel, he is ready to receive you and to write your name down in the list of his friends. He is ready to forgive your every sin, to clothe you with his perfect righteousness, to give you his Spirit, and to make you his own dear child. All he asks you to do is to sincerely come to him. He asks you to come with all your sins. Simply acknowledge your vileness and confess honestly that you are ashamed. Come just as you are, waiting for nothing, unworthy of anything in yourself. Jesus calls you to come and be his friend. Oh, come and be wise. Come and be safe. Come and be eternally happy. Come and be Christ's friend. Lastly, know that if Christ is your friend, then you have great privileges and should walk worthy of them. Seek every day to have closer communion with him who is your friend and to know more of his grace and power. True Christianity is not merely believing a certain set of dry theological propositions, but it is to live in daily personal communication with an actual living person, Jesus, the Son of God. Paul said, "To me, to live is Christ." Philippians 1:21. Seek every day to glorify your Lord and Savior in all your ways. He who has friends should show himself to be friendly. Proverbs 18:24. And certainly no one is under such mighty obligations as the friend of Christ. Avoid everything that would grieve your Lord. Fight hard against besieging sins, against inconsistency, against reluctance to confess him before others. Whenever you are tempted to do that which is wrong, say to your soul, "Soul, soul, is this your kindness to your friend?" Above all, think of the mercy that has been shown to you, and learn to rejoice daily in your friend. So what if your body is bowed down with disease? So what if your poverty and trials are very great? So what if your earthly friends forsake you and you are alone in the world? All this may be true, but if you are in Christ, then you have a friend, a mighty friend, a loving friend, a wise friend, a friend who never fails. Oh, think much upon this friend. In just a little while, your friend will come to take you home to heaven, and you will dwell with him forever. In just a little while, you will see as you have been seen and will know as you have been known. Then you will hear assembled worlds confess that he who has had Christ for his friend is a rich and happy person.